I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to episode 83 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Tonight I'm joined by Carrick Davin's man Stephen Cronin and Sean Smith from Turles Sarsfield. We have an absolutely packed show this week after all the club action at the weekend and stuff going on in the background with the Tip senior hurlers. So we're going to get cracking straight into it. Sean, backroom team announced, Declan Laffin, TJ Ryan, and surprisingly enough, Páraic Maher. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a hurry of putting in power. I was like, Jesus. But to be honest, Tip County Board, there's no time waste here. Very efficient, to be fair to me. You know, like, we're in Tip, we give out fairly easy and we don't throw the confidence as much. But to be honest, they sewed this up fairly rapid. Like, Nick has over the at the Tip GA Galway race day yesterday, you know, talking, interviewing as if he stepped into the road straight away. He's got plenty of matches the weekend, you know, in the old stand there, sitting on his own, watching the games. But I think it's a great team put together, to be honest. Declan Laffin, like, he's a man that you don't hear much of, but you hear is very big praise about a lot more swear by him, to be honest. He's able to keep that team going to see what it's doing for football and hurling down there. TJ Rhinos and stuff. And Shaparik, like, is he bringing in someone that's maybe kind of close to the panel and knows who the other lads, kind of get them on board again and rally last few, maybe a year or two out of them. So I have no complaints any end, to be honest.
Stephen, what's your reaction to it? We had a bit of a chat on the WhatsApp group saying, is he a bit too close to the panel after literally only after retiring 6 months ago? Is that, do you find that an issue?
Yeah, no, for me, it's not an issue. I think the whole too close to it, I think, is a throwback to when managers can't be friends with players and they think, you know, like small club mentality, like picking their friends over the fellas that should be playing. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think Paulie's far too professional for that. And Paulie was leader in that Tipperary dressing room all those years. There's no doubt he would have had to call one or two things out himself, speak hard words in the dressing room, especially as captain at times. I don't think there's going to be an issue. You know, himself and Ronan might have a few words at home or something, you know, like brothers would, but I on the hurling field, I don't think there'll ever be an issue when it comes to picking teams or given instructions or taking instructions and criticism. I think it's a fantastic addition to the background team.
Sean, I'm delighted for him. I don't think it'll be an issue, by the way, but I'm delighted for him that he's got this opportunity, because it would have come as some shock to him to have to stop hurling completely, and there must be a gap there that he was finding hard to fill there for a good while.
Yeah, like even your own club there, he was up a steering train every twice a week, trains a week, and then the boys finally said, Parik, you're going into the management team here, because like he's up there, he may as well have been involved, like his roaring lads on, and just his presence, to be honest, even a sideline, like I saw him last, you know, he was kind of standing down towards near the backs, you know, kind of keeping half backs line and checking corner backs, you know, kind of he could see things like the other lads mightn't see, and having a tip set of like, you know what lads said. He's honest as well. You're not going to pick someone that's not up to like, and and Declan Teague and Liam won't let either. Like, not to be a decision between them all.
And last night on Extra Time, Ronan Cork was asking the same question, and I'll give you a quote here from Cahill. I was absolutely thrilled when he accepted my offer to come into the management team. It absolutely gives the perfect link between current player and new manager coming in. So, look, Cahill's doing all the right things so far, Stephen, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, efficiency, straight down to it. You know, get the men he wanted on board. Like, another quote there that's doing the rounds, 3 phone calls, 3 yeses, 3 meetings, job done. You know, that I think is brilliant, you know, and straight to work already. You know, they're all going to the championship matches now, and they're going now with a job in mind. They're not just going as spectators. And yeah, look, you can't help but be positive for the appointment and then the work that Liam Cahill is going about himself and organising his own backroom team.
Yeah, and hopefully they produce the goods for us this time next year. Hopefully we'll be looking back at this with a bit of fondness talking about it. But as you say, Cahill was at plenty of matches over the weekend, Sean. He was in Thurles on Friday night, but we'll go through group by group. So group one in the senior, Dan Breen, we had Killer One and Mike Harkey. I think that was on Sunday evening. And Jesus, Sean, this isn't a result I don't think many people seen coming. An absolute annihilation, 4-22 to 10 points. I know you weren't at it, but what are your reactions to that?
Oh, I've heard like a thought about a few characters there, a few going to wedding and kind of saying, like, you know what? Like, all, like, they're coming up on the edge, and he's like, and Kilrani, don't know where they are, really, kind of, they're good in the league, all right, to fair to them, but, like, I didn't see the result coming, beating, but, what, 24 points then, was it? Yeah. 4-22 to 10.
Keane Darcy got a hat-trick.
Yeah, like, you know, like, it's just not the way you want to start a group, and Kilrani are off to fly out that result, but, like, that's one of the shocks, not the shock, the result, probably not, but the scoreline, to be honest, is just... Blue teams out, but like, and be honest, I need a clone to draw in the other game in that group. That's set up love for Killeran. You know that they're gone top already after one game with the big score difference as well.
Yeah, Stephen, you mentioned Nina and Clonalty there, 3-10 to 19 points. Nina really clinging on for a lot of that match, and they were looking to get a result out of it.
Yeah, the goals kept them alive. Like, 10 points is a poor return for a senior Ireland team. You know, I know Clonalty Rossmore are a great team themselves, like, but 10 points is a poor return, relying on goals that Clonalty will have to try and address themselves. Like, you know, they could have been far more goals there. Like, but there's probably, they'll have to be working on their shooting, you know, because they're not going to be up against teams so porous as Clonalty were the first day around. And, you know, they're going to need to be racking up big points there to be qualifying out of the group, like, you know. And look, and I suppose Clonalty, they're going to have a look at their own back line there, at the space and everything they were giving Nina. Just, that's not good enough at this level.
Yeah, particularly that first goal, Sean. Did you see the match, Sean?
No, we had a match Saturday evening, as we were playing for us.
But I'll leave this open to the two of you. That first goal, in particular, Ben West, I think it was after about 10 or 15 minutes. It reminded me of Pat Donlan's goal against Cork in 2013 All-Ireland. Just the defence opened up for him and he just stayed going and going. What's the start? He's run from the half-back line.
Like, how is he not taken down? Like, even he's not fair clinical. Like, how was he not?
No,
It is a strange one, because when Clonalty won the county there a couple of years ago, beat Nina in the final, they suffocated Nina. Didn't give him an inch. By all accounts, then Nina has the freedom of the park and the forward line for goals. Like, it's just strange. Like, is it first day of nerves? Is it tension of first round? Like, the first round, it's so difficult. And whoever loses it, they're on the back foot for the next two games. Like, it's a hard one to put their finger on. You wouldn't be expecting Clonard to be so open like that at the back.
Yeah, and they were lucky Martin Sadler was in half-decent form. He made some great saves. But Conor Hammersley, Stephen, I was impressed with him. He got some great scores, particularly one there in the second half out near the sideline. It was an absolute belter.
Yeah, Ashford. Like, Conor now is the... Sorry, no, mine's gone blank there. And yeah, but he's going to have to be going well now, for especially after losing Timmy this year now. So they're going to... He's a huge loss that can't be underestimated for Clonty Rossmore. Like, you know, he was their go-to guy. And the rest of the boys now are going to really have to step up now and drive them on, because we always expect Clonty to be down at the top table. But conceding the way they're conceding is not healthy going forward.
Yeah, and I think they were half expecting Cottle Burke to be back for that match. And if he can come back there in 2 weeks' time, he'd be a great addition back for him as well. But that group's shaping up nicely. It'd be hard to call. You'd imagine Mike Carkey would be, after that result, he'll be struggling to get out of the group. So you have Killaron on 2 points and Nina and Clonalty on a point apiece. We'll move on to group two now, Sean. So another game.
Sorry, just before we move on, what happens now that Nina and Clonalty drew? Who plays? You know, it's usually winners and winners, losers and losers. What happens now?
I think it works that the teams that were drawn off first for the first round play off as winners. Okay. So they'll be assumed as winners. I'm not sure what way it works out now. I couldn't think of it. But yeah, it's working that way. We're playing Holy Cross in our group, so that's the way we were drawn off first.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, Sean. So, Turles, Bursley, an absolute creaming for Bursley, Sean. This was a game I was expecting to be close.
To be honest, like, in the first half, so kind of went 5-1 up there and kind of going, geez, we got 5 points there already, kind of. And then Creedon got the goal. But then, first lead from off wide as well. Brendan Marr wasn't right, to be honest. He went off injured, but he wasn't right during the game. You see, he wasn't covering the ground. Kenny inside, it was marked by Joseph. Kind of Kenny got tossed early on, but Joseph kind of held him back again. But we kind of get a half time. It was like, kind of, if we get to another 6 points on the board, get to 220 to see it out. And, you know, we got 2-3, but I didn't expect that from Boris Lee. It's kind of hard to know whether, it's hard for me to say it, especially, like, are we good or are they bad, or what kind of way to look at it?
Stephen, what's your opinion on that? Boris Lee is very disappointed with that.
Yeah, when you hear of Brendan Marr not going well and having to come off, like, to lose a talisman in the middle of a game, it sucks the life out of the rest of the club players, like, you know. And them boys going in, you know, like, some of them could be getting into that game thinking, geez, Brendan's only touching goal. Like, their focus could be on Brendan, you know, rather than focusing on the match. You know, it'll be a bit of a sore one for Boris Lee, you know. But at the end of it, like, it is Turles Ashfields as well. Like, you know, if you don't come fully prepared against Turles, they'll have no bother taking you to the cleaners.
And no bother to the anyway. And, you know, there's a lot of talk behind Boris Lee, Sean, at the minute, but they've Shane O'Neill as manager. They're getting a twist out of Mikey Beavens at the minute, doing a bit of coaching. Everybody's fit. I don't think they're missing any players. Kieran Cohen or Paddy Staplin came on the other day off the bench, all right, but he's been touch and go to start the last year or two. Where do they go from here, like?
Yeah, their strategy during the game, they're kind of doing short pockets, but they're only kind of going there waiting for around the flanks. No, they're kind of getting caught. They kind of changed up again, but, like, it's just the slow start didn't help their cause at all. And their main man not firing the first half, they could have kept a few points behind, but, like, even our team were missing a few starters as well. Like, we weren't, as in Stephen Cahill didn't play, Billy only came out a few minutes to go. So, like, we've kind of more lads made that might come on again, but lads on the team, to be honest, gave a good performance, but Burris be shocking disappointed. Like, you know, it's hard to know. Like, next now, they're at least then the next day we were playing Drum, you know, and they've kind of get the result back, show back and all by beating Templary. But, like, does one come down to last day to beat a Drum team to go through? Like, you know, that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, and we'll go to that one next. I don't know if either of you seen it, but I was at this one. Drum fairly easy, 230 to 219 winners. Sean, they're motoring well. I know you've been expecting them to be going well with Shamey getting the getting the bread. Are they a dark horse? Are they?
I said it earlier on the pod there, like, they're going well. Fitzjamie in club focus, and they've great 100 lads coming in the minor team in 20s over the years. Like, they're going to give anything plenty of, like, scoring 230. I know lads go it's only against Templary, but Templary earned the right to up there. Templary last year were a team that were fire, and even what Templary scoring says is 220. You got, like, that's a fair score still as well, like, you know, to and to lose by, you got 10-11 points. Well, it kind of shows the standard drummer kind of setting to the score the weekend and looking on, just the bigger teams are putting up these scores and winning well. And like you mentioned earlier on, like, Nina Canole kind of weren't putting it over the bar, weren't getting the scores, like, they've kind of wondering why they aren't.
Yeah, the narrative going into that game was if Templary can close shop at the back, they might have a chance, but, like, they were conceding way too easily. I think they started with a sweeper. Now, I'm standing to be corrected on this. Drum might play with a sweeper this year. They seem to be Stevie Nolan was the sweeper, but they were really working the ball out well. The manager on the sideline, every time they lumped the ball down, he wasn't a bit happy, so they're trying to play it through the lines. Really impressed. I don't know if you know this, Sean. Was Jamie Maloney playing at the forwards last year?
Was he playing the forward? Can I think back on our matches? I don't know. I actually
playing centre forward from the other day, and he's a fair threat up there. He's fair direct. Anytime he gets the ball, he's head down. He scored a goal and set up Jamie's, I think. So he's been a big addition up there. But they're hurling well, and Jamie is looking in great form. He got 1-4 from play, and he scored all the freezers. I don't think
it was 230 they scored, was it?
230, yeah.
230 is phenomenal scoring for any game, but to be playing a sweeper and still score that,
yeah, you
know, that's a well drilled team there. Like, five, you know, up top with five forwards and still racking up 30 points. And whatever wise they hit as well, like, to add to the opportunities, like, that's fairly very, very impressive.
Yeah, and lads, they have a good starting 15, but they were bringing off good ammo off the bench as well. David Butler and Johnny Ryan came on, like, so, like, they're good players to be bringing on. I thought John Campion was very good again, lads. He looks the part there midfield. So, geez, Drum they'll be in good mood going into the Boris match, and that's going to shape up to be a cracker. You'd imagine that's a playoff really for second place. So you have Turles topping the group with two, Drum just behind them on score difference on two, and Templary and Boris bringing up the rear. So we'll go to group three now, lads. This is the
controversial
one. The draw of Toome and Mullinhawn, 3-12 to 2-15. So we'll just get straight to it, lads. It was wide.
Well, my take on it, seeing the images, it looks like the flag, to me, it looks like the flag moved first, then the net. If there's a hole in the net, or if the net wasn't pinned properly, that ball had to go through the net without touching any part of the net. It, like, you're looking at that there, and it's like, to give a goal there, if there's a hole in the net will move. You know,
yeah.
Is there a hole that big that the slitter didn't even touch the net on its way out? I don't think so. It's in Semper Stadium, you know, like. And the nets that bad up there, like, we've nets down there that must be in better condition than the Davenport, you know,
fishing just, nets in better nick, the ball wouldn't go through it.
But there's no hole in the net, though.
Exactly.
Tom McGrath was on Tip FM last night saying he was actually inspecting the nets the next day in Turles, and there was no hole in the net.
I think the goal came from the man that took it. That's you know, if I took that penalty and did the exact same thing, we weren't given a goal.
But he wasn't round that much of look at either. He wasn't fully, like, you know, there was no real adamant row. That's the kind of way kind of what turned me off thinking it wasn't a goal then. Like,
but, like, you know, whatever about that, lads, with the umpires, like, I mean, you've one job. I don't like criticizing lads for giving up their time for the matches to go ahead. Mother of God, like, how can you not see that? Like, it couldn't be any more black and white. And it's not like it's split, as you were saying, Stephen, playing it down the backfield and Toome there or something. Like, this is in Simple Stadium, like.
These are frustrating, and as you said, like, we don't like to be too critical of lads, because these lads are only helping out the referee, like, you know, and it's tough going, because we've spoken about on PV today that no matter how right you are, there's still going to be someone whinging. But for me anyway, this is an obvious case of a phantom goal, a goal that wasn't and was given, and it's extremely frustrating, like, you know, especially like the players you have to go through the hardship of a game, but the training, the preparation, the commitment going into it, and to lose to draw a game or to concede a goal like that is very frustrating.
That is, and to be honest with you, anyway, look, it's done and dusted. The result is there now. It's not going to be changed. But just thank God it's not the last group game or something where there was a win to get you through and you needed it. And that would have been an awful kick in the stones. But we should have probably had them beaten. For 40 minutes, we were kind of coasting and we just didn't tag on the points there just to make sure of it. Jack Delaney hurled right well for a score, two goals, and he set up the third. Who else hurled well? Robbie Quirk hurled well. A lot of lads did hurl well. And for Mullinhone, in fairness, Kelly turned the match when he came on. I thought Mikey O'Shea was good. Owen Finley had a good game. Jack Shelley in particular now, he's one of their go-to men now, especially when Kelly didn't start. He's a really aggressive player and he gets onto some amount of ball, in fairness to him. But look, we were given a lot of extra time to get an equaliser that we probably shouldn't have been got. So I can't really complain too much. We 6 minutes, I don't know where the ref got it from, so I thought we'd done well to work the point. So, look, it's not a complete disaster anyway. At least we didn't lose the match.
He got the 6 minutes off his umpire.
Subconsciously, he must have thought,
how do we draw?
I better give these lads a chance, because it was a bit dodgy, like. But look, anyway, look, we can stop talking about it. We'll talk about hurling. That's Upper Church and Holy Cross, Sean. Probably not a surprising result. Upper Church, obviously, BG in the mid and just didn't show up against the Brackens. Put up a good show here, 223-21, probably in control for most of the match.
Yeah, by all accounts, they were a Holy Cross, but we missed even their last thing in the pod, like Brian O'Mara missing there in the back line, you know. They still got to go on, but the Church got in when the scores mattered and had too much at the ending, like, you know, but like Upshur Freddy and a foreign team got wind up, the Holy Cross would be disappointed by kind of manner of defeat, to be honest, by the scoreline.
Yeah, and I think Joe Caesar was probably hurling well from in the forwards and he went off injured, I think. Just lacking a lot of scores, Sean, if they can't shove Barrett up the field with O'Mara centre-back. A lot of the scoring burden really on Dara Woods there, probably not enough of a spread.
Exactly. And the other side then, like Sean Ryan, Upchurch popped over, scored Luke Shannon, got the goal. Like, you know, the lads there, they're kind of throwing scores around there. Paddy Green as well, he's a handful of whole things. So, like, you know, there's plenty of scores in the Upchurch line. And Holy Cross probably missing that. As I say, Brian O'Mara, as in any team, any club team in the county, he's a huge loss. Barrett is trying to cover two or three positions in.
Yeah, it's a big ask. So that's group three. So Upper Church are leading that one up with 2 points. And Toome should be on 2 points, but it's a point apiece for Toome, Mullinahone, and Holy Cross bringing up the rear there. And we're going to group four now, boys. Not surprising results, but we had two draws here. Jacob Brackens and Airog, firstly, that's 116-19. After Jacob Brackens winning the mid, Sean, imagined that they'd do the business here against Airog, but they're sticky, aren't they, Airog?
Airog done it against us the first round there a few years ago as well. You know, they come out and just get these results. Like, where Brackens maybe were celebrating a bit beforehand and won the mid and pretty cooked the eye off a small bit, you know. Airog, as I say, they won't roll over. Brackens is sure disappointed of that, especially the other game being a draw. Like, there's an opportunity there, and they are playing the Saturday as well, so they knew the result from Friday night. Like, you know, a draw there is putting the top and clear, like, against, like, suppose you kind of go on the weakest thing in the group, the bottom seed. They weren't in the bottom seed. Where are Brackens the bottom seed, actually? Who were
and Carty would have been the bottom seed.
And Carty would be.
Yeah. Probably still a hangover in Templemore, Stephen, after the mid-final win.
You could, a hangover of sorts. First mid championship. They could have been ultra professional. They might have been smart when it came to the celebrations, but there's still an emotional high you're coming down off of, you know. And no matter what way you paint it, they're not a tour of Sarsfields where mid titles are, you know, expected every year. This is a first mid title, so there's going to be euphoria for a couple of days. Reaching that same level of focus so soon after it would have been very difficult, like, you know. And they'd probably feel coming away out of that game without being bet so soon after the mid-final might have been a positive as well. You know, I know there's an opportunity for Mayor to get the win, you know, and it puts pressure on the other teams, but you know, so soon after mid final, you know, I'm kind of, I think it's a good draw rather than a poor draw, if you understand me.
Yeah, they have to fall back any of the preliminary quarterfinals. No, that's always there. Like every team, like, you know, when they're kind of going, I aren't great, but that's always there in the back of my mind as well. No, they're always a lifeline there. It's no problem.
And in the other game, Sean, there was a draw between Kildangan and Lockmore, 18 points apiece. Probably if you asked both sets of management before, if they'd take a draw, they probably would have, with injuries and lads missing. Probably a result that they'll both have taken.
Probably was, but coming down the straight, I was in, I missed the first minutes and got the most second half. And like Lockmore, kind of second half, I thought were always 2 points ahead. Clanging again, their shooting was just poor. Kind of one mark from 56 yards, hitting bad wides when the game was 2-3 points in it. And they got scores at the end to win it. And neither team then looked like winning it either. So, as I say, with the two teams that out, like even looking Lockmore's team paper, the shooting names there now that, like, you rarely, I wouldn't have heard of, but to be honest, anyone who's on Lockmore jersey, they absolutely give it all in. Like, even Noah McGrath was lord on the ground the field there at times. He just watched me getting on the ball. He just has that, he just had the class, lads. It's just the way he is.
It's impressive, Stephen, isn't it? And look, Kildangan obviously are missing a few, but they still brought Willie Connors on in the first half and had Billy Seymour back. I know he has no hurling done, but Lockmore missing a lot more by the end of the match, and they're still always hard to beat.
Yeah, first great to hear Willie Connors back on the hurling field and run and flying it. Like, you know, his tough injury there last year, but he's going well again, and more power to him. But I suppose this game alone probably had more injuries to both teams coming into this game with injuries, probably more so than any other game in any of the divisions. And to put up a show, 19 points is good score, like, you know, and as like we rave about Lockmore every year, but they just as Sean said, when you put on the jersey, it just gives them power. Like, you know, whoever comes on the team, it's just born into them. Just work. Like, you know, and fair play to them. I suppose every day you have Noah McGrath on your team, you always have a chance. Like, you know, and it's phenomenal stuff from Lockmore. You know, pressure on them, and they wouldn't have a massive pick. Same fellas playing hurling and football, and you know, and I suppose that Kildangan had their injuries too, and it is a credit to both clubs to be able to still duke it out with so many injuries, and you know, to such a high standard still.
It was a tough weekend, Sean. I meant to say this is the start for hurling in general. It's probably contributor to the low enough scores that we've been come to use to at a club level. Very greasy on a hard surface, and I don't know what you thought, particularly in the two match and then with the Cashel and Clonkenny match the next day. Thought it was a lot of mistakes been made.
Oh yeah, I thought even when the round is so hard and the rain fell, geez, even though two were playing the match, we come to that later as well. The ground when the ball greasy ball, like and again it's the first kind of major game, that's why there's probably a lot of wides, no hands and errors and that, like they'll come round, but like still, like any kind of team, that kind of, there's no result. We're going, oh, geez, they robbed the draw there. Like, both teams are fair for, by all accounts, in that group for the draws. Like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, so and so didn't show up. Like, you know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. So that's group four, lads. Every team on a point. It's very close. There's even only a point difference in the scoring as well. So, look, there's plenty to play for in that group. We'll move on to the Premier Intermediate now, Sean. Thurles and Ballina, that was in group one. Were you in group one? I'm just checking the...
We weren't, no. It was Mary's, Sean Tracy, Burgess, and who was the other one?
Yeah, I have it up here now. So we'll start with group one.
Newport, sorry.
We'll go in that order. Sorry, no, lads. I'm on the wrong
one.
There's
our... No one of our St. Mary's correspondent here now, Todd.
That's it, Jess. St. Mary's are in it, so... Stephen, I'll give you a twist on this one. You'd know more about St. Mary's, but they had a good win against Newport. Look, Kevin's been telling us about all the injuries they had, 123 to 122. A good win, good start for
them. Yeah, fantastic, especially to recover after the South semi-final horror show. You know, that was a low. You know, I know you talk about injuries, and it's just the lads on the field that day didn't perform and their system didn't work, whatever they were trying. But to get back down to the training field last couple of weeks there and put in a performance like they did at the weekend and get the win, you know, that'll take an awful lot of pressure off them going into round two, and a fantastic win. Kevin will be a happy man the last couple of days.
Yeah, I was talking to him there. He's absolutely thrilled with it. It just takes pressure off them, Sean, just in case. Like, I know they're still missing a lot of players, and that's a fairly competitive group with Sean Tracy's and Burgess there as well, so they'll be happy to get a win in their first game.
Oh, yeah, and, like, Mayors, are kind of, he's down with their game against Swans, and they were just off, like, and, you know, they weren't hiding, they were bad in that day, and to come out then, first round, like, you know, heads were kind of down, but to come back and get the win in that group, and with the other game, finish a draw, it's a perfect result for them to start off.
Yeah, and as you're saying there, Sean, the other game, that group finished a draw, 20 points to Sean Tracy's, 214 to Burgess. I actually got this prediction right, one of the few predictions I got right in the paper last week, there. This is going to be a draw.
Because you couldn't know what, yeah, I mean, kind of both teams you wouldn't know where they're kind of, Burgess or Cave Vatten, and Trace, to be honest, we're going right good all year. We played him in the challenge game there, he's going to look for him, but Burgess are Burgess, and our team in that grade are going to there, like.
Yeah, Tracy's, in fairness, are a team on the up, in fairness to them. So that's group one, lads. St. Mary's topping that with 2 points, and Tracy's and Burgess on 1 point in Newport, bringing up the rear on that. We'll move on to group two now. Ross Gray had a big win, Stephen, over Killadangan's B team. I know you probably wouldn't have got to see this at the other end of the county, but a massive win for Ross Gray, and one they probably needed after a patchy enough North Championship.
Yeah, I think Ross Gray will be obviously to be very happy with that, like, but I think they'd be quite confident of, you know, like, getting back up there, you know, contesting the business end of this championship, and I think that has to be their target. Ross Gray are, you know, it's a massive club, great history, and you know, they're after a flyer now. I saw them, geez, I can't quite recall if it was after the COVID or was before COVID, and they played Drummond Inch. Just even where to, and I was extremely impressed with the speed in the forward line, you know, and they rattled Drummond Inch now. At the time, I tried to figure out where it was.
That was a draw, was it? It was last, yeah. Was it
was
game.
It a draw?
Drum got late. Did Drum get a late winner or not?
I think
in Kempetui.
Yeah, that's where it was. Could have been up there, but I was impressed with them there. Like, they looked a bit, little bit lightweight, for want of a better word, but the speed and the quickness of it was on show. And look, there'll be a few teams in the Premier Intermediate now that they're going to fancy their chances to get back up to senior. And Ross Gray won't be one of them.
Yeah, no matter who you're playing, shooting 133 in the match is fair. It's fair score, and I know Killadangan lost a good few lads there to their first team, and they scored. It was 133-412. Competitive enough for 30-40 minutes, but Ross Gray eventually pulled away. And in the other group, we had Silver Mines and Mine. I was at this myself in Barsley on Saturday. The Jason Ford show goes on. 212. Out of 317. He's just an absolute machine, isn't he, at this level?
We said it in a preview last week, just hold him a bit, like, just at least hold him with something. But, like, every game just pops up with 7 to 8% of scores.
Yeah, he's some detail, Stephen, isn't he?
Yeah, isn't a fantastic credit to him that he's always turning up for his club. He's always the go-to man, and 9 times out of 10, he's delivering. Like, it'll take a great performance to keep him quiet, you know, and I just, that's something I admire about a county player. A county player, when he goes back play to the club, should be seen a mile away. You know, you walk into a hurling field, after 5 minutes, you should know who the county players are, and you see the mile away with his forward when he's playing with his club.
Yeah, he's savage, in fairness, and he's doing it a long time. Like, remember when one day won the county, and I think it was 2011, and they played the first senior championship the next year, and they got to the North Final. He was, and I won't say he done it on his own now, but Jesus, he was unplayable even at that age. The other day, now I was fairly disappointed with Mine. You know, they're absolutely ravaged with injuries at the minute.
Yeah, they're missing a good lot. I was chatting through Mine last Sunday there. Yeah. They're, you know, it's a ravaged injury. The lads kind of came in then. They just couldn't keep it in to save Mine. But the few, yes, with that level, if you miss one or two big players, it's, you know, it kills you.
It got to the point, sure, Paul Maher made a great save off of a Conor McKelvey shot, and he had to go off, slid really clean in the face, and ended up having to bring in Grodd O'Connor in the goals. And there was a few times during the match where he had to run out with the ball, and he could not barely run.
He could barely move. Yeah,
the way they're
kind of looking at the bench, who we use, and Mike come on down the line instead of using the juniors, no goals. Yeah. He went in. You know, Ali.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Goal, Connor's lad, you want to see back in the field as well, like, you know. Good old player on radio tape. You know, like, these guys need to be playing these games and hopefully...
Yeah. Connor Ball was very quiet, I thought. In fairness, like, in a losing side like that, it can be hard to stand out. Anytime he got the ball, he was getting fouled as well, to be fair. But, look, that was fairly one-way traffic. An easy enough one for Silvermines. And you'd fear for mine if they can't get a few lads back and pick up a bit of form. Wouldn't be a given that they'd be Killadengan, even with them missing a few lads as well. So that group is Ross Gray and the Mines on 2 points, and mine and Killadengan bringing up the rear on that one. We'll move on to Group 3 now. Probably the shock of the weekend, Stephen. Gert Mahu with a big win over Killinall, 221-217. We did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I kind of said
Killinall. Stop.
It was a fantastic win for Gert Mahu. Like, you know, that as we said there recently, there's a local derby there as well. You know, I know it to be similar to Drum and Barnsley there, but it's a brilliant win. But you know, I'm a bit hard on Killinall there last few weeks. But you know, and maybe I'm overestimating them now. Maybe the old powers are gone. But it's a disastrous. Disastrous result for him. You know, it puts massive pressure on him going forward. And I hurled against Killinall a few times, you know, and I've watched him a lot in South Championship down the years, and I always felt that if you get into him, you know, if don't let him hurl, give him a bit of stick, you know, get the bodies in. I just don't think that they want to hurl. They don't want to be getting involved in the physical stuff, you know. And if you lay them hurl, they will cut you asunder, you know. But it's a very without taking any credit off Gert Mahu, it's a terrible result for Killinall from a Killinall perspective.
As I said, Stephen, like, it puts them in a fairly dodgy position. With Thurles and Ballina to come, and there are no slouches either. We've seen that they're fairly evenly matched on the other side.
Yeah, but the thing with Killinall is they could go out then and they could blow the next team out of the water. Like, you know, it's getting, for me, it's getting a toughness into them, but it's getting a consistency there as well. I think Tony Doyle might be training them, or he could have been part of the management team last year. I'm not too sure if he's hurling anymore. But the value that he brought to Killinall, the leadership he brought to Killinall down the years was unbelievable. Even when they lost Declan Fannin through retirement and Kieran Bergen, Tony Doyle was still the go-to man. You know, everyone will talk about bubbles, and Tony Doyle made them tick, and maybe they're missing that.
Yeah, he's a serious player in fairness in his time. Sean, you're in Toome on Sunday for Thurles and Ballina. I've seen they were fixing the nets there after the shit show that was Saturday, just to make sure there was no controversy up on our end.
When I walked in, there's two lads below at either end checking the nets by absolutely square by square by. There wasn't a hole to be found in us. Even named tight for a fan. But game, we got a draw in the end, but in the first half, Ballina's shooting was atrocious. They should have been 10 or 12 points up, John. It's kind of left in the game. And then we came out the second half. John Maher came on, a huge change on the team, kind of. And we just got going and got the scores and went 3 points up, and Ballina then got a goal to their end, scored round one. And there was about 5 or 6 minutes at a time. PJ Nolan was gave us a free then to level it there. And we got the free and kind of went away. But after our first half performance, I'd be very happy getting away with a draw. But then when they're kind of 3 or 4 up, you could have robbed in the end, but Balnar probably disappointed how he heard in the first half for all the whites.
Yeah, and you were saying before that match, you'll either win by a point or lose by 10. You didn't know how to approach it.
Yeah, it was one. It's hard to know, especially losing as a senior A, and kind of some of them lads, they're kind of a young team as well. There's a few experience on it, but not like they've been over the years on that kind of intermediate or prim intermediate, to call it. But Mikey Breen was marked by, was a hint, Harry Fitzgibbon marked. Mikey Breen scored, got a few points, but like overall, wasn't like the county player like you see Noah say, for example, there in the stadium, you know. Like you mentioned Bonner there, maybe, like, you know, but still, he got the flick for the goal. He did a decisive flick out for him. I think it was him. He still had to mark him, and like we always had to have one of our best backs on him. But not a few good lads there now. Again, names wise, I don't know who we were, but we were there. They're popping over scores, but they should be not sight in the first half, totally honest now.
Where are De Bruyne operating? He was full forward, and I seen him in the North Championship.
He was centre forward and full forward, so going between the both. So he was down the middle the whole time. But he's, even the size of him, he's ahead of everyone, I feel like, you know. So like you have to like mark him. Like he wasn't exactly on everything, but still the ball is going towards him, he's flicking balls off, breaking up, like, and he got a score as well. But you know, and the rain, the first half actually milled rain there, the wind and the rain, and that probably didn't help Balnar's shooting plans. They're kind of shooting with the wind, but then just swirling. But it's a tough group, to be honest. Now, like, as in like, that wind got, tis anyone's game if you know, like on the day, anyone could do that there, like killing all or bottom the group, and he wouldn't take that after game one. Like, that's something I wouldn't see.
Yeah, it's a big upset in fairness. So that has Gurtin Hoo topping the group with 2 points, and Turles and Balnan a point apiece, and Killinall bringing up the rear. Group four. We were both in the rag, Stephen, for Cashel and Clonakenny. Pretty poor match. Cashel coming out in the end, won 12 to 13 point winners. Jar Brown produced the goods for him.
Yeah, nice run down through the middle of the defence there in the second half, and got a shot away, and Poor enough out of shot, but the follow-up and the rebound, fairness, the bravery out of the keeper, he dived out in front of us. I was sitting over near the Clonakenny subs there, and he came out. It looked to be like a badly broken finger he received at the end of it, but ball broke to a Cash lad, and he tapped it in, and it gave Cash the lead they needed, and it kind of deflated Clonakenny there. After starting so well as well, you know, they started really well. They were zipping around, they were taking the right options, but they didn't do enough on the scoreboard to really knock the confidence of Cashel. They left the door open at half time, and Cashel came out in the second half. Their forwards must have got a rollicking, because they did nothing for them in the first half. Like, even when your shooting boots are not on, you know, you can chase down fellas, you can hook, you can block, you can put your body on the line. You know what? You can even go in and hit a lad at shoulder and give a free. There was none of that. They didn't lay a glove on the Clonakenny backs in the first half.
Was the weather bad in the first half? It was pissing too at the same time. Was it heavy rain there, no?
When I came in the gate there, a downpour came. It seemed like it wasn't raining up until that point, and then there was a downpour. Then there was a few other downpours, like, but the conditions were they were the same for both teams, and Clonakenny did do them very well in the first half. But Cashel can thank their backs for that win. Their backs they kept them in the game at half time, and they just completely got on top in the second half. And their forwards started ticking then. Their forwards started motoring. Now, it was a low scoring game, but there were plenty of wides as well. And I think where Cashel would be super confident with, you know, the fitness levels, they were good, and they ground out a win that they probably barely deserved. But from a Clonakenny viewpoint, they left the door ajar for Cashel, and I think they faded badly in the second half. That'll be an issue for them if going forward for them.
Yeah, I thought Devin Ryan had a particularly bad day. He's got so much ability, and I was expecting way more from him. He was very quiet, and he's even, I mean, he was under 20 for Tip. He was very reliable on the freeze. He missed some very easy frees in that match, put him under pressure.
Yeah. I was expecting a real big game from him now, because, Jesus, he came on for Tipperary. Was it the Miners or the a couple of years ago when Watford tried to throw the game, not tried to throw the game, but when they tried to simulate the ending of the game. But he came on and he was fantastic. And you're looking at thinking, geez, this lass is going to be a superstar. But he was very quiet now, Sunday. Very quiet. I expected a little bit more often. But, you know, in the second half, other cash lads stood up. Like, I'm going to forever get mixed up between the two. But one of the Bonners there, Conor Forward, Conor was one side, Ross was the other side. Mm. And he really, really took the game to Clonakenny there. You know,
yeah,
so like
lovely points, didn't he?
Yeah, I suppose Cash will look at that and say, look, we'd be hoping that Devon would perform the next day. So again, that's probably a little plus. One of their key men not performing and still winning the next day, he could go out and shoot the lights out.
Yeah, I thought for Clonakenny, Keane O'Dwyer was very good. Willie Ryan again was very good for them. The Michael John Carroll, Bobby Bergen, there was a few good performers in fairness for Clonakenny. Probably over-reliant on Keane O'Dwyer scores, Stephen.
Yeah, they were. And like, if you have one man that's going to do all your scoring, he has to be a Jason Ford. He has to be putting up big scores. If not, you know, especially like when, I suppose, Clonakenny would be, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they'd be competitive, but probably someone you wouldn't look at as a favourite for the championship. So they need a good spread of scorers up top, and they struggled. I think it was 9 points to 7 or 6 maybe at half time, and they finished the game then with I think it was 12 or 13, you know. And
yeah, Keane O'Dwyer scored 10 of the points, like,
you know, and that's hard going. Like, that's not going to bode well as we march along into the championship.
Yeah. And in the other game, poor draw against the Swan, a narrow win for Port against the Swan. We have a man smiling there in the camera. It's not Sean.
I'd be in trouble.
I don't know if you heard that in about Stephen, or were you at it, but Port Row just pulled it out in the end.
No, we're heading off to play our own match that day. By all accounts, they like four points up, I think, with about 5 minutes to go, and you know, they were turned around, which something they'd be very disappointed with, because their fitness levels are good, like, and their game management is usually a little bit better than that. But I suppose, look, we all have injuries, everyone have injuries, but Eric O'Halloran was missing there the other day, and he's a huge player for him. Sean, you remember him playing half forward against St. Mary's, that he was under the stand in the first half, and he's a fantastic player, like, and the work, not just the work he does going forward, but the work he does coming back, and he would have been a big loss to him now, you know. And look, I suppose they'll take confidence from the fact that they know they could have played better themselves, you know. A few badly missed frees that they wouldn't normally miss, you know, and you know, I think they conceded a soft goal that they wouldn't normally concede. So, look, I suppose I'd fancy him ahead of Clonakenny the next day. But look, there's a little bit of pressure going into that second game after losing the first, and they'll be back to the drawing board now working on that.
Yeah, and as I was saying in the preview last week, man, that's for Portrow. Ruin Mulrooney scored 4 points. Sam Madden, 3 points. AJ Willis only had a point. He was probably quiet enough. But Portrow are a dogged. They're like one of the favourites. They're very hard to beat. And Swan found that out the other day. But anyway, we'll continue on. That group is finally poised enough for more matches to come. So we've Cashel and Port on 2 points at the top, and Carrick Swan and Clonakenny bringing it up. We'll go on to the intermediate briefly. So lads, it's a pity we couldn't get Mike on for group one. Capa White with a narrow enough win over Ballybacon. I think he was telling us in the group, Sean, that he'd have taken a 1-0 scoreline for that game. So
that's one of the ways he's down it there, and he said like, you know, White just heard for a couple minutes, second half goal and a few points, and that was it, you know. I just didn't saw it out there, but he said disappointed by the result. You know, they got the score, but disappointing performance.
Yeah, and that essentially, well, you'd imagine Ballybacon were probably struggling now for the rest of the group, and that's kind of a get out of jail card for them from there. So they'll probably be out of the relegation scrap if we're going by form. Stephen Moneygall and Ballingarry in the other game. By all accounts, an awful amount of controversy at this one. Don Kennelly was the last minute winner for Moneygall, 114 to 112. Are you hearing that in down south?
Ballingarry not happy at all with the performance of the referee. I wasn't at it now, so I can't comment too much. And to be quite honest, I don't have much sympathy for him. They availed of a poor refereeing performance last year against us. So, with a wry smile, I'm saying, like, what comes, it goes around, comes around. But look, tis a difficult situation for Ballingarry. Like, you take away the controversy of it, it's a defeat. And Ballingarry would have hoped to have gone straight back up last year, and they didn't. And I think it was Moneygall actually beat him last year in the county quarter final, or, and they're bet again. And the pressure's on Ballingarry, big pressure on Ballingarry now, because they would have, they've a rich history in the South Senior Championship in Tipperary, and they wouldn't see themselves as a Premier Intermediate team, or as an intermediate team, they'd see themselves as a level above. I know one of our lads was contacted last year to go in with him on the management staff, and the quote was, "You won't win nothing down there, but you'll win the county with us." And it's like, Jesus, I wouldn't be talking like that too soon. Like, and they're in a difficult spot now. They're in a difficult spot because it's a competitive grade. Like, we don't know who's going to, you don't know who's going to win it from one year to the next. And they're in a really tight spot now. Like,
And that was a Moneygall team without Joe Fogarty as well, who's probably their best player. So
yeah, excellent hurler.
Big win for them now. Big win. So that has Cap White Moneygall topping that group, and Ballingarry and Ballybacon bringing up the rear on that one. We move to group two now. Sean, Knockavilla with a big win against Ballinahinch, 123 to 12 points. Probably went to long expected lines there.
Yeah, Knockavilla were even last time standing there, Premier View, a lot of teams run Knockavilla and kind of against maybe 1 week, but they kind of only got 4 points at the end is all, a big win for them, but getting off of that. And I'm surprised in the other game, lads are getting abused. Skeener Inky showed up, and no offense for this weekend. There's a few tweets going around there over the weekend about it.
That's the other end of the last man standing, Stephen. There was absolute carnage. People pecking first again in that one, including myself. Yeah.
Maybe it was a long-term plan, I'd say. No, a brilliant result for Skeener Inky. We played him there in the county league. I think it was county league there. Start early on in the year, and they had a right good way of playing. Like, they gave us run around at times. I think they play a sweeper and try and work it through the lines. I was in goal that day. I was a fall from one of the goals there, so I won't speak too much about it. But they'll be very fit now. They will, and I suppose, like, look, the controversy that they had to suffer, that bit of slagging they had to suffer the last couple of weeks. Rightly so, but they probably would have used it as well. They're brand new up from the junior grade last year. This would have been the big one for them. I know they had a South Championship to play and they could, but like, this is the grade they want to be at, and to get off to a good start was what they really, really needed, and they did that, and it was a great result for them.
And they had a football as well. A lot of them lads have football to keep them going, so they're going to be fit out. I know, again, it might take it out of you, like, more injury stuff, but still, mentum-wise as well.
They'll relish those matches anyway, Stephen, won't they? We had this
great. Yeah. Look, I'm after being new up to a grade a couple of times now after a few relegations, but look, when we came up in 2009, you're so excited for these games. Like, you're so excited to be up that level and playing against so-called bigger clubs, and it's just, it'll prove a savage motivation for them every night in training.
Yeah. So that has them topping the group, surprisingly enough. We wouldn't have predicted that at the start of play. So Skeener Inky on 2 points, Knockavilla on two, and Ballinahinch and Burscane bringing up the rear. Move on to group three now. I suppose we'll start with Drummond Inch and Arvale, Sean.
Arvale probably disappointed. Arvale disappointed there with that. I know Drummond was mentioned at this grade. They're just a way of holding lads, and they have a few lads, but Arvale will be disappointed there with, that kind of result.
Yeah, 20 points to 114. So that's a great start for Drummond, as you were saying. They're always competitive with their second team at that grade. And Stephen, Kilsheelan and Shannon Rovers. Probably another touch of a surprise in this one. Kilsheelan after winning the South Final. Shannon Rovers after getting a fair clipping in the North Final against Lura. A draw game here, 17 points to 2-11. Surprised with that result?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I think a draw is a draw, but it's a fantastic performance out of Shannon Rovers. You say they got a clipping in North and then to come down. Like, Kilsheelan, South champions, like, but they were in the county final last year as well, like, you know, so they're an excellent team, you know, and we played them in the South semi-final and they have a really good style of hurling. But for Shannon to respond the way they did, you know, that's great character there, and they'd be extremely happy with that result.
Yeah. So we have Drum's second team bringing that or topping that group on 2 points, Kilsheelan and Shannon Rovers on a point, and Arvale on no points at the bottom. And finally for group four, we'll come to you first, Stephen. So not as bad as you're expecting. You put up a decent enough show against the front runners for the whole championship.
Yeah. Look, the scoreline, I suppose, the scoreline doesn't suggest the doom and gloom from our point of view, as some might think. You know, we were down a couple of key players, and you know, we're like Laura, they didn't have the numbers. We don't have the numbers. And a couple of old fellas there had to suffer through injuries playing the match. But yeah, look, we started way too fearful. We gave them way too much respect, and they could do what they please as they please for the first 20 minutes, and you know, and they did. You know, they racked up a nice good score. Nice style of hurling. You know, move it through the lines fairly quick. Try and work it close to goal to get their shots. I suppose that's probably a percentage thing. The closer you are to goal, the better return you'll get. We started kind of getting going after about 20 minutes, you know, trying to go back playing our own game. And in the second half, we just went for it. Like, you know, they were the better team. They probably had, they probably took the foot off the gas in the second half. But, you know, we had to work extra hard for our scores. They probably didn't have to work as hard for theirs in the second half. Like, but, you know, they were a nice style of hurling. They're slick, quick, you know. I made a joke to Brian Hogan off the field there at half time. He was playing centre back. I was like, "We now make a heap of changes, you know, bring on fight, you know, a mess." And he goes, "We don't have them, you know." Like I said, they didn't, you know, they didn't look like they had a big squad either. That could bring them, like, they'd probably be favourites for the county, or in a lot of people's eyes, they'd be seen as favourites for the county. But that might bring them a small bit back into the pack. You know, come county quarter final, semi final, and final, most clubs now are probably going to need five lads to be able to come on and contribute. You know, do they have the numbers for that? That will remain to be seen. Now, they might need it, but as the season goes on, bodies get tired, injuries come in. You need lads to be able to come in and do the job that the lad gone off was. And you know, like, look, I wish them all the best. I hope they go out now and absolutely hammer the tar after the next two teams. And you know, if we get our lads back right, and hopefully over the injuries, you know, we'll see what happens in the rest of the group games.
You've been targeting the other two teams anyway, Steve.
That's from the get go, yeah. Because look, we have to be realistic either. Like, you know, we're only small numbers ourselves, and we can't afford injuries, and we can't afford fellas away, and it happened. So, you know, if we had a full team going out against Laura, look, they probably would have won anyway. You know, but we think we have a good chance now in the next day against, we're playing Borland the next round. And, you know, if we can perform there, who knows? Like, you know, we'd, look, I suppose, I'm not going to say we're going to go out and beat Borland or anything, but we're going to go down training there. Unfortunately, we had a death in the parish there, so we go back training there Thursday night, and the aim is to go out and beat Borland. Whether we can or we can't, we'll see in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Sean, that's the last match of the group. I don't know if you heard much about Borland losing to Golden Cathedral, 22 points to 114. A bit of a come down after winning the mid,
yeah. Borland were falling through there from out on there, saying Borland were flying the mid, you know, and they were kind of confident enough to win that game. And, you know, not getting the result he wanted to starting off. Going number four, maybe same kind of bracket as they were going into the game. after winning the mid-title. And you know, it is being positive, but friend up yourself again. But, you know, Kilfeek and Golan would like with that. Golan always kind of, they'll just do it and get the scores. But as you say, that group is Laura's top, and then it's going to be a dogfight then for another place. But Borland having the fallback of the south there, or the mid intermediates, helped their friend Manet, and might kind of just kind of be back in the mind a bit.
Yeah, the Golan lads won't be listening to us this week anyway, I'd say, so we can say what we like, I'd say. But that group is, I'm afraid to say, Stephen, Carrick, Davins are bringing up the rear, and we've Laura and Golan on 2 points and Borland on no points as well. So that's the end of the club season, or what will the club, first weekend of the club action.
Just a note there in the club, what do you make of the South referee situation there? I know, like, it's the short notice, what I find scandalous, to be honest. I mind if I told you on the Wednesday or Thursday, but surely you knew if ref horn's available more than 5 hours before match. This is where
I think serious questions have to be asked about the planning. You know, you have senior, premier, intermediate, and intermediate starting up this weekend gone, and the South Board think they could start up a junior championship. Like, where are they going to get the referees? We've a shortage of referees in the first place. Never mind every other club playing a game in the championship. There's poor planning and I don't know. Can anything be done? But like, there's always seems to be a problem, always. And you wonder, will there come a time when the county board will have to step in and say, lads, what the hell is going on down there? You know, it's terrible on all those clubs and all those players. Like, we're trying to keep people staying hurling, you know. Like, look, not every lad is cut out to give the responsibility to train like a senior club or a premier intermediate club. Like, they want to train, they want to go play the few matches as junior, and some junior teams are very serious about their hurling. You know, if they're going to be treated like that, eventually we're going to lose them. And it's extremely bad plan, and review or questions or something has to be done at the end of the season for the like of this not to happen again.
We play devil's advocate on that one, Stephen, isn't it? Should the clubs not be up in arms about this? Like, it's up to them to form the South Board as well and get the right lads in place and try and get
I agree. I think the problem, again, I'm speculating, one of the problems could be the right lads not doing the job, and the lads that are doing the job are not the right lads. You know, like, we never hear this of any other division. You know,
was the ref not known Thursday or Friday, or did they wait to start in the morning? I know, like, probably now refs is their own linesmen, like, doing on the senior games into meet a primer, but like, how do you think is going to show up and ref again? Is this why kind of,
but that's what I say, like, because they're senior, premier, intermediate, and intermediate games, like, where did they think they were going to get the refs? You know, and like, this is not just this weekend now. Like, I know it goes back to juvenile. We had a juvenile game out the field there. Was it against Clonmelogue, I think it was? 13s or 15s, I can't remember. And, I'm forgetting his name now, but the Kilsheelan goalie, I can't. Jeez, I'm terrible at remembering names. He rocked on into the field 2 minutes before throwing. He only got the phone call 5 minutes ago that the other lad never rang in, that he wasn't available. You know, like, this lack of communication is at the crux of it as well. Like, you know, are referees being contacted? Are they available this weekend? And if not, why are they going ahead with the games? Are referees even being asked? You know, it's a hard one, and it's a frustrating one. And, you know, to be quite honest, it's embarrassing as well, because it's always the South. Every year there's an issue, it's coming back to the South again. And I don't know what clubs are going to do with it. As I said, the men in place, maybe they're not the right men, and the men that's needed in place maybe just don't want it.
We're not we're in the middle of playing junior midweek, and it's kind of, a lot of times our matches are rearranged around what suits both clubs and maybe referees. And we'll have to play a Tuesday night, could be a Thursday night, could be a Monday. There's a lot of movement, it's nothing fixed, but the games that are getting played, we're just getting through them somehow. Played one again last night, it's lots more, I used to sit with a lot of lads in the Monday evening, but just kind of played and that was it.
But just to go back to what you said, they're what suits the clubs, you know, referees contact, like, communication. You know, there has to be a lot of communication, you know, and that will help. Like, maybe going midweek should have been the thing in the first place until the referees became available. But it's like, there's the fixtures. We'll make the fixtures and we'll worry about the rest afterwards. And the morning of a match to find out there's no refs, that the championship have to be called off. I think I seen a comment on Premier View there last week that one of the clubs involved had to contact the club they were playing to see if it was true, because they weren't contacted themselves. Like, you know, this is terrible. This is amateur stuff.
Yeah, even the promotion of the game, Stephen. I think somebody started a thread on Premier View about the North, the West, and the Mid, and the promotion of the games they have. And who's the Mid PR? Mark Dunn. You have Michael Quinn, the North, Francis Coughlin, John O'Shea in the West. They put in serious effort into the match reports and updates on what's going on. It just seems the South are behind in every aspect. Yeah,
absolutely. I follow all them on Twitter, because just to get the wide range of results. I'm fairly sure that a random person set up a South Twitter thread just for results off his own back, because they're not an official from the South there, you know, and it's really poor, like, you know. And I don't know, to be honest, it's hard to put the finger on it. You know, again, I come back to it, we're just probably filling positions with, like, I know from personal experience that we in our club the last 20 years we probably put the wrong men in the wrong place, and we suffered for it, you know. And that's probably happening at the South Board.
Right, yeah. So we'll finish up at that. Just on a positive note before we finish, I just want to thank Colin O'Sullivan for starting up the last man standing there in Premier View, even though I'm pretty much nearly gone out of it already.
To be the quickest last man standing ever, I say.
Very quick.
But isn't just I got myself a new fan there on Twitter there. A lad created an account just to have a go at me. And he had a go there at the picking of, you know, picking winners, you know, predictions. But isn't it a great thing that so many people are gone? We were looking for a competitive Tipperary championship with years and years, and we have one now so competitive that it's nearly impossible to pick winners bar the one or two gimmies. You know, I think it's a fantastic statement for Club Hurling.
Yeah, I just want to highlight to Colm as well that I picked the right winner in the Portrow and Carrick Swan game. Very shrewd of me. And we'll be back later in the week. That's it for the review show anyway. And we might have Kevin and Colm back later in the week to preview the football at the weekend. Thanks for joining us on the Premier View podcast. The Barana Boom.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.